What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we are joined this segment by Congressman Nick Langworthy. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Joe?
Doing well so far this morning. Congressman, lots to get to. And let's start a topic that we have discussed very much in the last few years, and that is the focus on the border, the focus on border crossings. And you gave a news conference earlier in the week focusing on issues with border crossing, including something that happened in our backyard.
Yes. I mean, this was really brought home and into focus, Joe, this week as Buffalo ICE agents arrested a known serial killer from Peru who came here, you know, as part of this migrant crisis, slid through the cracks of the loopholes within the parole system, and because of the hard work of our ICE agents, they tracked him down in Endicott, New York, once it was found out that he had 23 murders on his hands. He was apprehended there, but he was hiding in plain sight. And this is absolutely unacceptable, and it's a personification of what has been the Biden-Harris agenda at the border. I mean, she's failed miserably, as borders are. A job she took 38 months ago, and we have 10 million people that are wandering around this country, and we don't know where most of them are from.
Now, I know so much focus on the southern border. I know this was an issue from the southern border, but as we know, there's crossings at the northern border. Those, every time we check in on them, those continue to go up.
We're fighting against a multi-pronged big business. The cartels that are involved in the smuggling of fentanyl, that are in smuggling of products and the human trafficking, that are manipulating this border crisis, they're going to find other fronts of this war. And make no mistake, this is a war at the border. I mean, ask any member of Congress that represents one of those border communities, and their community's been completely transformed. And now we're starting to see this in upstate New York as well. But the northern border being an unchecked, unguarded border, I mean, we have bridges here, so we have customs agents, but think of the western end of this country, how wide open that border is and how desolate it is. We have more northern border incursions than we ever have. And it's opening up as a new front for people that look to come into this country illegally to use that northern border. We have to get vigilant about that. And we've really tried to beef up the work with the Northern Border Security Caucus to try to put this on the front burner. I mean, I introduced legislation calling for a annual assessment from DHS as to what is going on at the northern border as well as the southern border. And we need, the border security is on the ballot this fall, is as simply put as I can put it. You have to choose. Do you want a country with no borders, or do you want border security? Do you want to finish the wall? Do you want to end the parole loopholes? Do you want to stop the illegal immigration and invasion of our country? The choice is very clear as to which administration will take you in which direction.
As you mentioned, you introduced the Safer at the Border Act. I know for me, this seems just like common sense legislation. What kind of support does this have in the House, or will this have in the House?
We have dozens of co-sponsors at this point. I can't say that I don't believe we have bipartisan support yet, which, you know, it just boggles my mind how something like this can't just pass on a voice vote. And instead, you know, they want to hide behind some really lousy legislation that was put forward, and they got one Republican to negotiate it So they said it was bipartisan. It couldn't even get a vote in the Senate. It would have normalized illegal immigration and made sure that we had up to 5,000 illegal immigrants coming into this country a day before we shut the borders down. I believe in zero tolerance. That number should be zero. Secure borders mean a secure country. And anyone that's advocating for anything less, you got to ask them what side they're on.
Congressman, you mentioned the gang leader that was arrested. Will that person be deported, or will that person be tried in the United States? How does that work?
Well, he needs to sit first in front of a federal immigration judge. That has not happened yet. I was able to talk to several senior officials in Buffalo ICE yesterday before I spoke to the media about this case. I mean, this savage murderer. He was so bloodthirsty that he had tattooed on his body the names in the faces of his victims. I mean, this is the kind of gang menace that has come into this country. And he was sitting in a sleepy town in the southern tier in Endicott, New York, in Broome County. And there are still accomplices of his that are at large. And one thing that is very critical to know here is I spoke to our federal law enforcement, and it's not the first time this has come up. It came up when I spent the day with U.S. Border Patrol agents in Grand Island last year, is New York State's green light laws, which give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. The green light state DMV from sharing the driver's database official, just like they do all over the country. And this is a product of New York's desire to be a sanctuary state and to hide illegal immigrants from the federal government. And those ICE officials that were taking their lives into their own hands, taking on a known murderer, could not access New York State DMV data while this guy was driving around in a car with New York plates on it. Their job is hamstrung. Their investigations are hamstrung because they can't access New York's data. So our bridge employees, our border patrol, they can't access that data because the radicals in Albany, the people that are, you know, promoting an extreme left-wing agenda, think that the rights of illegal immigrants should surpass the rights of law enforcement. And law enforcement's job is to protect and serve the taxpayers, the people, the hardworking men and women paying the bills, keeping a civil society. And instead, we're showering rights in cloaking people that have come into this country, broken the laws of this country, just so they can virtue signal that the politicians and the left-wingers, and a lot of them are right here in Western New York that voted for this nonsense. You know, those state legislators that promote this radical agenda, you have to ask the question, what side are they on?
You know, and I know you and I have talked about this, Congressman, but you see these protections in New York State, Illinois, California. Why this push to give people who are not here legally, when time and time again we see included in the people that are coming over are dangerous criminals? Why are there people in Washington, in Albany, in other capital cities that want to just continue this push and ignore everything else that we're learning?
There's only one conclusion you can come to, and it's that, you know, the leftist movement in this country, you know, I guess currently led by Kamala Harris or whoever's manipulating her campaign, whether it's the Obama regime or whoever, we know it's not Joe Biden. It is so that they can, you know, they hope that there's a world where they will receive the presidency, the Senate, and the House in one of these elections. And if they have all these people here, they can pass amnesty for all the people that are in this country illegally and make them citizens. That's something we can't do, because we have people here from hundreds of countries. We don't know what their purpose is. I mean, China has literally sent 30,000 plus fighting age men without families. And China is a totalitarian state. They don't let their people travel freely. You know, everything's purposeful. They've sent 30,000 plus Chinese nationals into this country. Some have come across the northern border, a lot from the southern border. They fly them from China to Mexico to come in. They want to create an amnesty situation, and they want to make them voters. They want a permanent Democratic majority. They want these immigrants that came here illegally to thank the Democratic Party for their new rights as Americans, and they want to transform the country. That's the only conclusion that I can come from. This is a reach for power because they know they're not going to get there through the common sense of the American people for their agenda. You know, whether it's the radical spending, the Green New Deal agenda, you know, taking, you know, choice and freedom out of your economic decisions or your personal life. I mean, they want, you know, radical gun policies, you name it. It's all out there. We've seen a snapshot of that during the Biden years, at least before the House went into Republican hands. And, you know, that Build Back Better agenda, which would have transformed our elections on top of everything else. They want to change the country. Barack Obama worked on it. The funny thing happened, though, in 2016 when Donald Trump actually won the election unexpectedly to them. And they said there was no chance, but the people had a course correction. The people wanted a different way forward, and I think we're going to see that again this fall.
Congressman, we've heard of these incidents at the Collins Correctional Facility earlier this month and one in Wyoming. And we saw during this week people calling for a pause in prison visitations after these repeat drug exposure incidents. Where are we on this? And what are you hearing about the possibility of these visitations being paused?
Well, I hope you have some of your majority state legislators come on the program. Maybe they could answer this question as to where we are. I was very proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with David DiPietro and Assemblyman Joe Giglio and the men and women at the Collins Correctional Facility. Those corrections officers have been blatantly disrespected by our state government. You know, the HALT Act, which was passed under Governor Hochul and the supermajorities in the Assembly and the Senate, have basically stripped the rights away from our corrections officers, taken their ability to do their jobs away, and again, given all the rights to the prisoners. And we saw 11 corrections officers have to go to ECMC. One gentleman that I had the honor to meet had to be Narcan'd twice. And of course, you know, the Department of Corrections says it's inconclusive what substance was on the person that had hung himself in the prison cell. But the things I learned from talking to the corrections officers are that these visitations are leading to smuggling of papers. You know, they're manipulating legal mail to, you know, the families or the contacts of the inmates are sending in papers that are masked as legal papers, and they're spraying it with synthetic drugs that have a hallucinogenic, you know, element to it that are very dangerous. And our corrections officers were exposed to things that threatened their lives. That corrections officer that had to be Narcan twice said, "I thought I was going to die." That should never happen. I mean, this is a dangerous situation to keep a jail population under control, and these corrections officers have been disrespected more than any member of law enforcement at this point. I have prided myself as someone in public life and in all my work is to stand up for the men and women in uniform, whether it be serving our country or serving our communities in law enforcement, because they have been so blatantly disrespected by people in power. It's disgusting. We have state legislators here in our backyard that have embraced these policies, have voted for these policies, and they should be held to account when they come home, because they don't talk about that when they come home. They only do they vote like lemmings with the New York City radical progressives, and then they come home and they want to talk about what pork they brought home for some project and put a big smile on their face. They are tearing down our institutions by their decisions in Albany. And it's disgusting, and people need to remember that in November.
Speaking of November, the DNC starts tomorrow. We've had a few guests on this morning previewing the DNC, Congressman. Your thoughts on where the election stands now? And before you get to that, your thoughts on Vice President Harris? She put out an economic plan last week. Your thoughts on that economic plan?
Well, you see more and more giveaways. I mean, that's all she's going to talk about is free stuff. And, you know, they want to give free money to people that want to buy a house. All that's going to do is create a greater inflationary problem. If you give someone $25,000 for a down payment, houses are going to go up $25,000. It's just obvious economics. When people know there's free government money, prices go up. And that's just the way it is. It's going to create a demand situation when we have record low inventory. She copied President Trump's idea that he's been campaigning on for several months now, which is no tax on tips for servers, which I've co-sponsored legislation, you know, just as we get ready for what is hopefully the next Trump administration, where we can incorporate that into the next tax code bill that will come up in 2025. I mean, this is something that just makes sense. I mean, our service workers work really hard, and they deserve a break. And no tax on tips. And I also support, not taxing the Social Security income that our seniors have to pay, because it's creating a hardship on them, especially in this inflationary market, that they can't make money without it becoming a serious penalty after they've earned that retirement, they've earned that benefit of Social Security, they paid in their whole lives, and now they're receiving a taxation on it because they happen to have to work. So many people have to go back into the workforce because we have an affordability crisis in America, an affordability crisis that was brought on by this Harris-Biden agenda. She sat at the right hand of the president for these last 4 years, and the mainstream media has allowed her to get away with murder here, essentially, by not holding her to account. She's answered, I think, 14 questions from the media since she became the presumptive nominee of her party. It's ridiculous. She hasn't held a news conference. She won't answer questions. She hasn't done a long-form interview. And you've seen President Trump have press conference after press conference answering questions from all sorts of different walks of life. You know, he did a two-hour interview with Elon Musk this week. He can answer questions. He can talk about what he would do. She reads off a teleprompter, and this entire campaign right now is built on hype videos in TikTok. I believe this race right now is back to where it was pre-debate with Biden. It's a jump ball. It's a deeply divided country. It's a narrow path for either candidate through the Electoral College. And there's seven states that are going to decide this. One is our neighbor to the south in Pennsylvania. It's probably the most important state on the board because it can go either way. And it has gone either way. You know, Trump won it in 16. He did not win it in 2020. And this is going to be a tough election. And both sides are going to be working very hard to get their vote out. And, we're going to see basically an infomercial. A modern political convention is an infomercial. And this will be just a four-day commercial for Kamala Harris. She's trying to not take any of the blame for what has happened to the American people over the last 4 years. But I do think that the American people are smarter than this. They're going to remember things like the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, the fact that our weakness on the world stage has created a situation that is closer to 1939 in pre-World War II, a pre-World War II world than we've ever seen. We've got, you know, obviously Russia in Ukraine. We have Iran funding attacks through their surrogates on Israel. So we have unrest in the Middle East. And then we have China, who's just chomping at the bit to take on Taiwan. I mean, this is a dangerous world we live in. They also will take no credit for the affordability crisis, because they supercharge the economy by printing money, spending off budget in ways that we've never seen before, in unnecessary fashions to fund a Green New Deal agenda, to fund, you know, programs that don't work and that have done nothing but price the American people and pinch the middle class more than anything. I mean, Biden and Harris promised that they would grow the economy from the middle out. They've shrunk the middle class worse than any president ever has, even worse than Jimmy Carter. And on top of that, the raging inferno at our southern border, where we've had an invasion of nearly 10 million people have come into this country illegally. And they have just turned a blind eye to this by 94 separate executive actions, all done by the Biden-Harris administration, that have created this environment and undone all of the work that President Trump did to secure our southern border. It's nothing short of an invasion, and the American people need to remember that in November.
Two more things I want to ask you about. The CDC's new policy on getting dogs across the border to and from Canada. Last we heard, there was a pause to this plan. Where do we stand on that today?
Well, this came up to me for the first time because, you know, these agencies just create rules. These aren't actions of Congress. Even though our Constitution dictates that policy should be set by, legislation should be set by the Congress and the legislature, you have these agencies just creating arbitrary rules. This was brought to me by a constituent on one of my telephone town hall meetings. I hadn't heard of it before that. And we immediately went to work, we researched it, and then I was the first member of Congress in the country to take this issue on. I wrote a letter to the CDC asking them to consider, you know, pushing this off at least 18 months until this could be thoroughly researched. And a border community like ours, where we have a lot of people that go back and forth to Canada, whether they have vacation homes, it's our neighbor. I mean, we go back and forth very freely here, and people bring their pet as a member of their family with them. There weren't enough veterinarians that are USDA certified in our region, and they wanted to put this on the books effective August 1st in the height of our tourist season. It's unfair. It's unnecessary. There's no rabies epidemic in Canada. And to have someone that wouldn't know that you couldn't get your dog back in, have them go to Canada and then find out you can't bring your pet home with you, would have been catastrophic for a family. And luckily, our colleagues across New York and across the country, for that matter, to sign on to that letter. And they created enough pressure where the CDC basically scrapped this indefinitely. And now we have to kind of keep an eye on this and make sure this doesn't come back. There's still a problem with dogs under 6 months that are still subject to these rules. And I hear from a lot of constituents that are worried about their pets. So this is something I think that uniquely hurts Western New York, given our proximity to Canada, and we stand ready to go fight if this pops back up.
Final question: the Buffalo Bills announced that they want to have the draft in Orchard Park in 2028. Congressman, are there any strings you can pull to make that happen?
I would be happy to talk to Roger Goodell, who is a native of my district. He's from Jamestown, his father happened to represent once upon a time the seat that I represent in Congress. I think he would love to see the draft come based on my conversations with him. I think, a closet Bills fan. And he's got to maintain neutrality, but it would be wonderful. I would love to see the NFL draft hosted in New York's 23rd Congressional District. And it's an honor to say that I represent the home of the Buffalo Bills.
For sure. Go Bills. And Congressman Nick Langworthy, great catching up with you, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Joe, and look forward to seeing everybody out on the campaign trail.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.